And yeah, that charity thing we were talking about at the end of last episode was our good friends at Bombas reached out to us and chose us. I don't think they chose anyone else here. And
not to brag.
Yeah, not to brag. They saw a mixtape. They thought charity immediately. Girl. And they asked us to pick a homeless shelter. Was it even necessarily a homeless shelter or just a cause?
I think it was a homeless shelter.
Okay.
I believe.
So it was a homeless shelter because they're the big... Yeah, well, it had to have been a homeless shelter because every pair you buy, they donate a pair to a homeless shelter. And you'd be shocked how many... My father used to work with the homeless like closely, like running shelters and needle exchange programs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And he used to tell me all the time, like, they would just find, especially in, like, a Boston winter, just people just frozen overnight, like, dead. And
Jesus Christ.
A lot of that has to do with people, like, just exposed feet. Like, you lose something crazy, like, 90% of your body heat through, like, your extremities. So, like, your feet being that fucking far away from your heart, like, that will get you up out of here. So, socks, especially, like, dry, clean socks are huge for the homeless. And
especially this time of year, like at all times, but especially now.
Yeah. So Bombas asked us where we would like to, I think it's 250 pairs of socks.
250 big ones.
Yeah. So 500 total socks. They asked us where we would like to donate them to. And since we end every show talking about Flint, Michigan, and since the winters of Michigan are as unbearable as they come for anyone, we thought it was the only way, and that was to give it to a shelter in Flint that we picked out. So I hope that can help. It's only 250, but I hope that keeps someone going, gets someone back on the right path, one step at a time.
Yeah, one person just gets 250 pairs of socks. Like, what luck? What luck I have. Bombas didn't have to do that at all. Again, they reached out to us. And shout out to them, man. They've been nothing but great to us, and now we can all be great to the city of Flint, hopefully.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, we didn't cure cancer or anything like that. It's just very nice of Bombas to A, do that, B, think of us and get us involved, and every little bit can help. So we don't just bring up Flint in hopes that Rashid's one day listening to get on here. It truly does, like, bother me that that's a situation. And they're not the only ones, but they're the ones we've attached ourselves to until they're fucking fixed. So that might be the entirety of this show, sadly.
I was going to say, however long it takes, man.
Yeah. Yeah, because this is still our country. We want, I don't know, I just want it to, like, we like to parade around, say we're the best, and at most things we are, but there's so many little things we don't get right that bother me. It's like, it's truly watching the Patriots. Like, people wonder why I get on Josh McDaniels so fucking often. It's like, because you have Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, Brandon Cooks, like, over the years, Wes Welker. Like, there shouldn't be games where we put up less than 30, ever.
That's valid. That's a fair point. You say, like, we struggle with the little things. We also struggle with the big things. Again, getting water to entire cities at a time.
See, like, that is apparently a big, that feels like a little thing to me. That should just be a thing. That should just be a thing that we have.
You would think if it was Flint, Delaware, they'd have some water, but alas.
I don't think Delaware is that great either.
The part I went through was lovely. Fine folks in Dover.
So we got Isaac Bruce coming on. Like I said, he wanted to talk some hoop with us. And through preparation, Devlin was just in here. And he was like, there's no Isaac Bruce has never said anything about basketball on the internet before, and no one said it that he said it. So there's no even secondhand Isaac Bruce basketball stories. So I can't.
Exclusive.
Yeah.
Mixtape exclusive.
This is the first time in the history of the world Isaac Bruce will ever speak about basketball. Former St. Louis Ram great. Currently fourth all time in receiving yards, which I think always shocks me. Like, Isaac Bruce was good for a long, long time. But just when you see fourth, like, he's up there with Moss, T.O., Rice. Like, those are the only three guys ahead of him until this upcoming Sunday. Larry Fitzgerald, I think he's like 60 yards behind him, will probably pass him.
Yeah, and even then, I feel like, it had to be. At the time he retired, I feel like he was second, because I think those guys retired after.
Correct.
So, yeah, to retire second to only Rice, who people love for some reason. That's pretty pretty damn good feat.
Although T.O., Isaac Bruce retired in 09, which is also shocking.
It is kind of shocking.
And he got like 700 yards on him. And if I remember T.O. in 2010, I don't think he was good. Like he was on like the Bengals, wasn't he? Or the Bills, maybe?
His last year was the Bengals. Yeah, he was good that year. He had almost 1,000 yards.
He was on the Bills, wasn't he? Yeah, that, all right, that was his second to last
year. Bills
were then, right he was still all right then, too. He 829 yards. All right, so yeah, Isaac Bruce was ahead of T.O. until he retired.
And just reading, he's been passed over the Hall of Fame twice, which I have no idea how the Hall of Fame works.
Yeah,
zero.
I guess we're going to have to talk to him about that. I don't want him to get angry, but it's fucking not, like, erroneous. Like, how is he not in the Hall of Fame?
It makes no sense to me.
Like, Tony Gonzalez is sixth on this list. He retired in 13, so do they have the five-year rule? I think they do, right?
Yeah, they do. I think his is...
next year.
I don't think he's on this final, so he's got to be next year.
Yeah, because he retired in 13. So I assume he'll be first ballot?
I don't know, man. With the way these voters go? Even, like, it's not even like Isaac Bruce. Like, I've never heard a bad word about Isaac Bruce. Like, not about him, like... quitting on his, like, the effort thing like Moss or how he treated teammates, whatever, like T.O. Just, like, consistently really good play. Great play. His second year, I saw he had damn near 1,800 yards receiving. Didn't make the Pro Bowl. So I feel like if you're going to look back, like, he, like, quote-unquote, only had four Pro Bowls. Well, he had 1,800 yards and didn't make the Pro Bowl. So
yeah, I can't imagine. I can't imagine there were other guys pulling in, like, 2,200 yards that year. Like, around him.
Like, at the time, I think it was like second or third all time. I think whoever, Julio broke it, Antonio Brown may have broke it. I think it's still like a top five season. They were like, yeah, we got to get Tim Brown, his 95 catches for 962 yards in.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, he had 119 receptions that year, 13 TDs, a long reception of 72 yards. 111.
Like Mark Rypien, like not Trent Green, not Kurt Warner. He was basically the Andre Johnson of his time.
He averaged 111 yards a game. He'd never, the rest of his career, he averaged over 90 two other times.
Decent. Hall of pretty good, I guess.
And he missed most of his age 26 season. Every other year, 16 games. Up until
show
like
off.
06 when he was in
show
his
12th. I don't like
12th year.
Yeah, I don't like a guy that rubs his durability in my face. No place in that guy for the Hall of Fame. And I think another stupid thing the NFL does, other leagues might, I think they, it's like you have to vote for so many people. Like this Hall of Fame class is stacked. Like if they should all get in, if 20 people get in, 20 people should just get in.
I think, if I remember correctly, basketball is the only one where like, yeah, we'll let in as many people as we need.
Silver, man. What are you going to do? Northwestern, man.
Because I know baseball, you can only vote for 10.
That just seems stupid to me.
Yeah. Yeah, like what happens, like again, like what if you had like the ballot right now, you could probably make a case for MLB. I think there's like 13 guys who should probably be in.
Yeah, this 2018 ballot is stacked. Like Steve Atwater, Rondé Barber, Tony Boselli, Isaac Bruce, Leroy Butler, Don Eric Coryell, Roger Craig, Brian Dawkins, Alan Faneca, Torrey Holt, Steve Hutchinson, Joe Jacoby, Edgerrin James, Jimmy Johnson coach, Ty Law, Ray Lewis, John Lynch, Kevin Mawai, Carl Mecklenburg, Randy Moss, Terrell Owens, Simeon Rice, Richard Seymour, Brian Urlacher, Hines Ward, and like a couple more names. So it's like, yeah, if 15 guys should get in, 15 guys should just get in.
Yeah, why?
Shut it up. Dad.
Why would they be upset about that? Like, why? What's the beef? What's the hold up there?
We want to keep it elite. But like, yeah, all those guys were elite. And be fair, like Bruce should have been in 2 years ago. T.O. should have been in last year. Like, so that's how you have a buildup.
Right.
Because you don't put people in when they should have been in.
Right. So stupid. There's 53 players on every single team every single year. And that's not even true either because so many people get hurt. There's like 70 people on a team every single year. And there's I mean, when he started, there were what, like 30 teams, 29 teams, probably 30 teams?
Yeah, 30 sounds about right.
And now there's 32. So I don't know. That's fucking thousands of thousands of people a year. I think you can let in 10 every once in a while.
Let's see, 70 a year. Okay, we won't let in any more than 7 at a time after a 5-year waiting process.
I guess I don't understand the waiting process. I guess is so like guys don't like come back after they're already given a Hall of Fame. Like, I don't know. Randy Moss could win it next year. I'd still probably want to sign him.
Sure. Again, T.O. was 37 putting up 1,000 yards. I feel like he could run a few routes right now.
It's all very strange. Football, actually not great. I had on radio today, people, we started off talking about the Eli Manning situation.
Sure.
And I pointed out because KFC was harping on the streak, like, oh, I can't believe the streak's coming to an end. And so I pointed out, well, there's another streak coming to an end, and it was the fact that the Giants have never started a black quarterback before. And
that's amazing. Like, even through injury, like before Eli, that's just amazing. And not surprising, but amazing.
Well, they're the last team to do it. Mm-hmm. And do it like it's fucking a drug.
Making sex.
And they were giving me shit for bringing that up. And I was like, let's reverse this for a second. If the Patriots were the last team, I would hear about that every day. Every day.
Probably, yeah.
Right. So, of course, I'm going to bring it up about the Giants. Like, it's not like we had some long story. Like, Vic wasn't here for a decade or anything like that. Like, no.
Right.
And it's not like, oh, just do it just so it can be done. But at the same time, like, that's, like, not great to be the last. Like, it's not great to be the last.
Yeah, no, not the... I feel like before then they went through some, like, Kurt Warner was in the mix. I just feel like within that mix of guys before you got to Eli, it's just amazing that nobody got the shot. But yeah, what can you do? Mark Rypien needed a few had a stretch.
That was the other thing. They were like,
was fine getting back in the mix.
They were telling me, like, the Giants have had pretty good quarterbacks for a long, long time now. And I was like, that, I know that's not correct. Like,
yeah, not for the past 200 starts, they haven't.
That was another thing I started doing. I said the Chargers won the Eli trade, and Philip Rivers doesn't have 2 rings. You're right, he doesn't. He had to go to New England every time he got into the playoffs. I'm sure if fucking Manning had to play those games in New England as opposed to neutral sites, those wouldn't have ended the same for those Giants teams.
I don't know, man. That guy's just lucky. He might have.
Listen,
he might have 4 rings if he was in San Diego. Thank your lucky stars, Mick.
You win 2 rings. You beat a team that's 18-0. That's forever. You can't take that away. And Eli played very well in those playoff runs. He didn't tear up those Super Bowls, but those are Patriots Super Bowls. They're always like, except for these last two, they're usually like low scoring affairs. I think the Panthers one was high scoring, but they're not wide margins. Like the Patriots could those Giants ones. Dave was pointed out, like, we could have easily won those 2 Giants ones and then lost the Falcons and lost the Seahawks ones. Like, very easily, yeah, those could have switched.
Yeah.
So you can't take away Eli. Eli got the rings. Like, he has those forever. Flags fly forever. He beat the Patriots. Like, he did those things for sure.
It's true.
He also forced his way out of San Diego. San Diego took him knowing they could not keep him. Like, he openly threw a bitch fit. I am not going to play for the San Diego Chargers. That's not what Eli Manning's going to do. So they went and they traded him for Philip Rivers. That could have been disastrous. Like, Peyton and Ryan Leaf went back-to-back. Ryan Leaf was nowhere close to as good as Ryan Leaf. That could have ended up disastrous for the Chargers. They got themselves a Hall of Fame quarterback, and they traded a Hall of Fame quarterback who refused to play for him and got a Hall of Fame quarterback back in return. I'd say it's pretty tough to say they lost that trade.
What else did they get in that trade? Like, I feel like they got like Merriman or something like crazy.
I think so too. Yeah, I think that's correct.
Even then, I don't hate the streak, but it's like, man, this guy never quit on his team. I'm like, yeah, except for the time he quit on the fucking Chargers. Outside of that, yeah, on the Giants, where he wanted to be, sure. Guy was there every Sunday. Yeah, except for the one right after he was drafted by the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, that, and I have no problem with that. I like when players take advantage of the system like that. Like, I don't hold that against Elway. Like,
yeah, hold it.
Right. And when you're the third iteration of a Manning, like, you can do that kind of shit. You don't have to play for the Chargers. But, I mean, Eli's regular. Like, I think it's wild. He's 8-0 in two playoffs, and he's never won a playoff game outside of that. It's Super Bowl or literally not going to win a playoff game. I've never seen anything like that before.
That's pretty good. Now, that when he gets in first ballot, that's when like Isaac Bruce is going to be like, dude, what the fuck? I got a ring, too. Like, style me out. Phillip Rivers, they got Nate Kading, who's like a Pro Bowl kicker, Sean Merriman, Roman Oben, an offensive tackle, and Rivers, all for Manning. So, yeah, that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Phillip Rivers' regular season stats, I'm pretty sure are, like, much better than Eli's.
Oh, they've got to be.
And, yeah, he doesn't
have. My regular season stats are better than Eli.
Eli led the league in interceptions 3 times. That's awful.
But man, oh man, that streak though, durable.
And listen, every Giants fan in the world should be like, look, we won 2 Super Bowls with this guy. That's all they should care about. But when we're talking about like that trade, like the Chargers won that trade. Like, yeah, they didn't get the rings. They play in the same conference as Tom Brady. I get Eli beat Tom Brady, but he didn't have to do it in New England. All of that matters. They got Sean Merriman, who was like a terrifying human being and an all-pro linebacker, granted on steroids, but an all-pro linebacker for
weren't we all, man? Come on.
A long time. I don't really care about Nate Kading. I'm not going to lie about that. I'm not going to be like, well, they got Nate Kading.
Well, I mean, he was Pro Bowl, which means you're at least pretty good.
Right. Yeah, no, Nate Kading was good. He wasn't a bad kicker by any means. We all know, if anyone played fantasy football in the mid-2000s, you know who Nate Kading is.
Oh, yeah, because those Chargers, 700 points a season.
Yeah. Yeah, no, those Chargers teams put up stats. And also, I think Phil Rivers should get some credit for essentially running Drew Brees out of San Diego. Like, that was a thing that happened.
I think that, like, I wonder who else they could have taken. Like, they would have just kept Brees and drafted, I don't know, one of those, like, Champ Bailey or something. Like, then you got, like, a real argument, like, hey, who really won that trade? They didn't get the quarterback, but they got literally everything else.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. But I don't know if Brees would have been the same playing. I mean, granted, it's San Diego, so it's almost a dome, but I just don't know if that would have, I don't know if Brees has a ring. I'm not afraid of Drew Brees coming to New England for sure.
No, you might find out this year, man. Brees, let's see. Okay, yeah, Rivers went 4th in that draft to the Giants. The picks right after that, Sean Taylor, the late great, Kellen Winslow, Roy Williams, D'Angelo Hall, skip 2 picks, Roethlisberger, Vilma. So, like, if they would have got, like, Sean Taylor and then Merriman and then Kading and still had Brees, I don't know. But alas, they did not.
Sean Taylor would have been terrifying for me personally.
Correct.
It would suck right now if I had to hate Sean Taylor because he, like, took a Super Bowl from Tom Brady.
You know what fucking stinks? I'm on, like, Wikipedia looking at the 04 draft. It's got, like, the notes. It's, like, beside Chargers, traded to Giants. Beside Rivers, traded to San Diego. Beside Sean Taylor, notes, deceased.
Yeah, not a great note. I feel
like we should get better notes.
Yeah. All pro. It should say.
Yeah. He's fucking good player. Yeah. Like, can we get something else outside of deceased in there?
Killed Brian Moorman in the Pro Bowl would be a better note than deceased.
Will Smith was in that same draft. His notes are also deceased. So not a happy draft in 04.
I'm sure there's like 12 people from that draft, maybe more, who are deceased. I don't know why that needs to be said.
Right. Also, the notes are like for trades. Like, Will Fork went in that draft. That pick was from Baltimore. Okay, that's a draft note. Doesn't seem like a draft note.
Yeah, they didn't call his name. Boom, out of here. Then I could see it.
Yeah, like he died walking up to the podium. Okay, that's a draft note.
Yeah. Like, even Len Bias happened the day after. That shouldn't be a draft note.
Yeah. I got a bone to pick up Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Marquise Hill deceased. Another. Yikes.
Ooh, forgot about that.
Get me off this draft.
For a lighter note, there was a guy we were very pumped about coming into the NBA through the draft by the name of Karl Anthony Towns. It needs to be discussed because I'm still of the notion there are some people who still think like he's bad. He's not a bad NBA player. He's incredible offensive talent.
Correct.
Who continues to put up numbers like no one's seen coming into the league his first 2.25 years. And the Wolves are still a good team right now, even with his defense being as atrocious as it's been. And I'm of the belief, I haven't looked into anything, I just know when he's been on the perimeter with guys, he's been more than fine. He's held his own on the perimeter. It's when a guy like Dwight, who notoriously has zero post moves, that's what has always been said about Dwight Howard, even though it's not fully true, he doesn't have exactly a bag of tricks like Hakeem. Guys like Drummond, just large human beings, have been grown men in Carl Anthony Towns in the post. I don't know why he's even playing center anymore. I don't think he's a center.
Yeah. He defensive, like he's like a weird spot athletically. Because like you said, he's not nearly big enough to like bang with those guys. Like again, against the Pelicans when Boogie and AD right. were just giving him the blues. But he's I guess better on the perimeter. I think it's less noticeable on the perimeter. He can move his feet well enough, but even then I don't know. Like because there's no like real fours anymore. If they're just going to put a small forward at power forward, I don't know if I want him guarding that either.
But I think he could do a better job in that role. Because I agree, the era is kind of unkind to him. Like in a previous era, he just would have been a four the entire time. He would have been like yeah. Dirk. Yeah. Where Dirk was, his post defense was fine. He wasn't always covering centers, though. So he was covering right. fours in the post. Like I think Carl Anthony Towns could hold Stromile Swift in the post. Like, I think he could do that.
Stromile Smith right now? I don't know, man.
But right now, you're right. There aren't many fours. And I think he is a true four. I think he needs to... I don't know what... Like, Minnesota took a center, the dude out of Creighton, right?
Yeah, Patton.
Right.
Patton.
And I know he's not ready. I don't think he's even played this year. I haven't heard his name once.
Well, I mean, you know Tibbs runs a deep bench, man. You mean you don't think that guy's play?
So it's not going to be this year, but I hope Minnesota sees this and they want to play. Because I know they tried with Dieng. Dieng just isn't good enough to start.
Yeah, I think that was the whole reason they gave him that money.
Right.
Which I said was a bad idea at the time, and I still think it's a bad idea. But I do think they... Like, I don't think it's a new development. I think they were like, yeah, maybe this guy just is not our rim defender, which is fine. We just have to find a different role for him.
Yeah, and Towns can still, like, one of the problems, too, I think he has had too much early success blocking shots, and now he hasn't adjusted to people just faking. Like, shot fakes,
yeah,
he jumps.
He's way too jumpy.
He jumps through the roof at any shot fake, any head fake, any pass fake. And even, like, I don't know if it's a communication problem with the whole team defense, but I feel like switching in the post has been a problem for him, too.
Yeah. Well, I know, like, even, like, the jumpy thing, I think that just, he did that at Kentucky. It's just that when you're doing it against a 6'8 center, like, sometimes while you're still in there, you can still block the
right.
ball, and it still works out. And watching him this year, like, I think that's the frustrating part, because I've watched him, like, multiple possessions in a row, like, stay on his feet, like guy to where he needs to be, switch on a pick and roll. Like you see him do it. And I think that's why they keep him there. It's like, okay, he can do it. It's just a consistency thing. And then not like Drummond or somebody would like pump fake from half court and Towns would jump in the crowd and it just like just puts everybody out of whack. But they're like 24th, 25th in the defense. I don't think that's all on him. Like I still don't think, yeah, like it's like you said, I don't know if it's communication. If it's still getting the Tibbs like system down, he is a big part of it for sure. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think anybody there looks as good outside of maybe Taj Gibson. Like I don't even think Butler's been that great, or as great as he usually is defensively this year.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to turn this into the Wolves' defense is 100% Carl Anthony Towns' fault, and I have seen pieces written like that.
I would say yeah, don't step on my column, baby.
Yeah, I don't think that's completely accurate, but. Both of us, we both touted Towns as this next great generational player. And I still think he's surpassed a lot of a lot of people who thought he should go like third in the draft. He's surpassed a lot of expectations. He's put up historic numbers offensively. So his offense is fine. And I know he didn't have that offensive freedom at Kentucky. So I know that's an adjustment period coming to the NBA. Maybe they should tone back his offense a little so he can focus on that. I don't know what The only thing I can think of so far that would help him defensively is him being a full-time four. And if the other team doesn't have a Drummond or even a Dwight or someone who has, like, very – or is too strong or too big in the post, then he can play a small ball lineup five. But outside of that, I think he's a true four.
See, I kind of – I slick-feel the other way. Like, I slick – like, because he, like, so far has been, like, an elite offensive center, I think to really get his value, I think he should be getting more touches.
Okay.
Like, if you're – like, if you're going to – he's shooting, what, 53 – 36, 86 right now, but he's taking less shots because of Butler and everything. And I don't know if it's like a staggering the bench thing that they would need to do, but I would want to get like as much value as I can. And then, yeah, for defense, again, I don't think Dang's that answer. I don't think they have that answer on the roster.
Right.
And because Tibbs is calling the shots, I don't trust them to get that. I think that's what really worries me.
Should they look at DeAndre?
Yeah. What do you think it'd take to get him?
I think Deang's going to be a starting point just to get the money near to where it's got to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just try and throw, like, picks at it. Because, like, unless Doc wants Jamal Crawford back, which he might because he's – Doc's not involved anymore, though.
Would you do Wiggins for DeAndre?
I wouldn't, no. Because I'm still higher on Wiggins than other people.
I think I am, too, but I'd – just because I think that would really unlock a lot of what they could do, I would be tempted. If I knew DeAndre was staying.
Right, he probably wouldn't.
Yeah. Oh, heavens no. the beach climate of St. Paul.
Lake but Minnetonka.
He loves to hit the sands there. But, Wiggins, like he's another guy. He hasn't taken that leap offensively or defense, the one that I thought he would take this year.
You
like his career numbers are pretty much in line.
If he's just this guy for another 15 years, is that a bad player, like offensively? I'm not even talking the defense. Just offensively, if he's a 20-point scorer and he shoots around – what is he, 3-point percentage right now? Is he around the league
average? I'm looking right, 31.
Okay, so he needs to get that up.
And it's 63 from the free throw line. So, like, not a
– that's bizarre.
Yeah, it's not like he's not a passer, not a rebounder. So, yeah, if he's just – like he's averaging 19 points right now. But
so even that's down.
Shots.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
down.
So, it's – so, yeah, if he is this player, then, yeah.
I think if he's declining – like, cause that's not even in line. That's a decline from last year.
Yeah.
So, if he's declining, yeah, I still probably wouldn't move him for DeAndre, especially since he's expiring. But if he's going to decline, then, yeah, I'd start thinking about – trying to get him before his value decreases because he's still locked up. He's still a young guy. I'm sure there are plenty of teams out there who would want to give up something for him because he's still better than a lot of guys and a lot of options out there.
Right.
But in terms of trying to get the most, like Towns is the guy for them. He's been better than Wiggins, even defensively, even as bad as Towns has been defensively. So I don't know. You just need to make sure when Towns is up after his next contract, because they can force that on him. You just need to be when at that point he still wants to stay.
See, the whole thing, I think. Let's see. Yeah, Wiggins this year is still on the rookie money. The big deal doesn't kick until next year.
Right.
If you did trade that, like I think it would give you some flexibility. Again, I wouldn't trust Tibbs to do the right thing with it. Like they just paid Teague. Gonna have to pay Towns, and I feel like Butler's up like either I think after next year.
I think so.
I think
too.
It's like Towns this year, Butler next year, and with Wiggins getting $5,150, like I feel like that's your flexibility. I think the team they have now they're locked into, which a playoff team, but I don't think like we talk point differential, they don't have a very good point differential.
Right.
Like they have a point differential of a team that is probably playing a little bit above their head right now, so that's not encouraging.
Right. Yeah. No, they look like a 500 team. Like when you watch them, they look like about a 500 team. There are spots where their offense is cruising and the other teams are missing because they can rebound. I think for as bad defensively as they are, and rebounding doesn't get talked about enough as a defensive metric as it should, they're a fine rebounding team. I don't know. I don't have numbers to
How
back
many
that
teeth
up.
Grabbing? I like you know I love my point guard to clean the glass.
Yeah, I thought they were going to run more point through Jimmy Butler too. And Teague just seems to be the full-time point guard, which I don't think is the way to go about it.
I feel like Tyus Jones has played well.
Yeah.
Like, I just, like, when they put in the second, I just don't think he has very much to work with.
Yeah, their bench stinks. Their bench definitely stinks.
It's not ideal. And because, like, Tibbs runs the starter so much, I feel like it's like, yeah, you guys play 20 minutes straight, you come out, we just run a straight five benchman unit. And it's like, no, these guys aren't good enough to do that. Like, you staggered it some with, like, some Tyus Jones and Crawford, but and then that's where Towns gets his extra shots. Mm-hmm. And when he comes out, you know, maybe Butler and Wiggins do some work like that. But I don't know. I don't know if I trust Tibbs to make those adjustments.
Yeah, no, they're in a tough spot, especially because most people still look at the record and their record's fine. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely something that could sway pretty drastically, pretty quickly for them this year. And it's not like, unless they go out and get another true starting center, that they're going to be able to. And again, moving Towns to power forward is just a thing I think might work. There's no guarantee that's going to just fix his defense immediately.
Right. A thing I'm thinking about, you mentioned Drummond. Like, this is Drummond's, I think, fourth year under Stan Van Gundy. And it seems like he's finally, like, figuring things out. Like, he's hitting free throws more. He's passing more. He's looked better defensively. The rebound and stuff have still been there. And, again, maybe it just takes these guys time. Like, this is a year and a half under Tibbs. And, again, Drummond had 2-3 years in the league before Van Gundy even got there. It's year three for Town. So, like you said, I'm not ready to give up on him yet.
I'm nowhere. I don't think that should even be discussed.
Oh, no, I'll never give up on him. I don't care what he does defensively. I just, like, if he's a four, I do think that limits, like, his ceiling.
Even offensively? That part I don't understand. Because I still think you can.
Well, I think it just, like, as a, if he's your five, like, that's the ideal five for the Warriors. If he can defend as the five, but if they're going to go small and you have to either, he's going to be guarding, like chasing around Iguodala or something. Like, I feel like just as a five, he unlocks everything else.
I get that. I just don't know if you, cause, I mean, if the Warriors are starting Zaza still, like, I feel like you could put Towns on Draymond. No? Like, you don't want him on Durant for sure, but you could put him on Draymond.
How could you, though? Like, Draymond's a really stout post defender. Can move with him on the perimeter.
Towns could shoot over him, though.
I feel like a lot of people say that over Draymond.
I don't disagree. It's not like it's like automatic, like cash, but he mm-hmm. like the physics bear out. Like, he can get a shot up over Draymond.
Yeah. It's true. He's a taller person. The center, I mean, unless you've got like a Serge Ibaka, somebody like block shots and shoot threes, is he going to clog things so much that like the advantage he'd give you at the four is kind of nullified? Like, because they're not a great shooting team already.
Right.
So if you've got a center that's just like Gorgui Dieng, like can do some scoring around the basket, can hit a jumper, but they don't really guard him, I feel like that mucks up the rest of your offense.
Yeah, I think ideally it's that's why I think DeAndre is like the perfect prototype, because he wants to be involved in offense for sure, but at the same time, like, he's like the ideal center is someone you can just throw lobs to and defend the rim. That's what
Nerlens Noel.
I mean, he might be free this summer, so that might be
he might be free now.
Right. Right.
Take him. You don't have to give us anything.
Right.
He was like a top 75 protected second round pick.
That's a good point by you. That is absolutely a guy who they could get for some sort of like not a good pick and put him in there right now. And again, I've talked about whether or not Nerlens, it might just be a him problem, but there are still plenty of teams that will and should want to give him another shot. I don't know. I think it's a really good idea because that is the DeAndre prototype. And again, I mean, it's tough. When his rookie season was as dominant as it was defensively only, it's tough. I'm still ready to give Larry Sanders another shot, and he worked out for several teams last year and clearly was not good enough to play pro basketball anymore. But Nerlens, a guy who is currently in the league and is at least practicing and getting all that like work going for basketball, like, yeah, I think that's a perfect idea for the Wolves.
Yeah, and he's like still getting like did not play coach's decisions. Like, I've seen like some Cavs talk, but yeah, like a guy you wouldn't have to give much on or give up much to get, still young. I think he'd just be happy to be playing any kind of minutes. The last five games, Nerlens has played 7 minutes. Like, he's just
total?
Not in their plans. It's total.
Jesus.
Over two games. One game he played three, the other he played four. And the other three he did not play at all. And like from his time in Philly, like when he had to play with Okafor, Embiid briefly, he defended some on the perimeter. I do think he's better as a center, but like if you've got a Nerlens Towns, that's I think it's two guys in theory that could one could hold down the post and on the perimeter. If you try to switch them out, they're quick enough athletically to not kill you there.
Oh yeah, no, I think that would be very perfect. As soon as you said it, I like that's how far Nerlens playing 7 minutes is seven more than I thought he'd played.
Yeah, like it's I don't know, just set him free again. Maybe it is a him problem. If I was a team, I'd be willing to find that out. Like, let's just it would it take to get him? Yeah, these are his game logs going backwards: 0-0, 4 minutes, 0-3, 6-5, 2-0, 6. Those are his last, I think, 10 games. Like, set him free.
If I remember correctly, he wasn't bad for the Mavericks last year after they got him.
He wasn't bad for him this year when he got minutes. Again, the first in October, again, limited, like 20 minutes a game, was shooting 60% from the field, 82% from the line, 7 points, 6 boards, a steal and a block in 19 minutes a game.
There's simply no room for that in today's NBA, Tyler.
The guy's 23, man. Keep long as fuck.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. It has to be something that the general public just doesn't know, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense. And I haven't heard anyone else even mention his name other than you.
And I'll keep mentioning it.
As well, you should. Baby,
it took me a couple years for Bledsoe to Milwaukee. We're going to get Nerlens somewhere that appreciates him.
Yeah, that's troubling. That will remain troubling. And, I mean, you said Okafor, too. Like, they can't give that. Like, as much as me and you have bashed Okafor, there are too many bad. Like, he could be on the Hawks right now. He could be on the Bulls easily. Right now. He could be on the For Mavericks sure. right now. Like, there are plenty. He could probably be on, like, he could probably be on the Clippers right now. He could be on the Lakers right now. Like, there are plenty right. of teams Jahlil Okafor could be playing for.
And instead, he's playing for exactly none of them.
None of them.
Like, you think the Nets? Like, the Nets couldn't get a guy like that? Like, just. Like, yeah, we've got young guys, we've got a culture. Let's see what we got.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised they're not trying to get in on this. This is the exact move they've been making. Granted, it's been more proven players than what he's shown so far, but it does seem like a very Nets move that I would be fine with, because we don't own any of their future anymore. But it does seem like a move that they would make. So I don't know. I know Philly's asking price up until like last week was still like a first round pick somehow. And they've finally got off that. But even like the Wizards are a team that's competing now, but like Gortat's been a problem for them, and especially in the postseason. Oh,
they got Mahimney, baby. The $64 million man. Put him on the board.
Maybe like Miami. Miami is a place that takes on these reclamation projects. Like if Miami just had Whiteside yell at him for several months in a row.
Pat Riley just show him his rings. Like, Pat, you showed me those yesterday. Yeah, I still got them today. And then one day it just clicks. Okafor's averaging 18-9.
Yeah. I'm looking at some other teams now. Memphis. Memphis should definitely be taking a swing on a guy like that.
Well, Memphis, they got bigger issues than that. Yikes.
That's what I mean. They have a ton of issues. Bring in another one. Maybe it'll be like Three Stooges disease out. That like Mr. Burns has.
Like Jahlil Okafor just pokes Andrew Harrison in the eyes and Andrew puts his hand up and blocks it. No, but I think what would hurt them, they turned down the option on Okafor.
Ah.
So it was like you can't turn down the option for next year and still want another pick. Like, you're going to try to trade him, but okay, we're picking up the option so you can trade him. You can have this year and the next year. And I think that's why teams are like, okay, yeah, we'll just
sign
wait.
Him. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll just outright sign him, which makes sense for them. But in the meantime, he's just like rotting away on the bench, which sucks for him.
It does. And I wonder if because we don't know because he doesn't fucking play. But I wonder what this has done to him, if he's like, all right, because he did come into this year trimmer than he had.
Noticeably
been.
Trimmer, yeah.
Noticeably trimmer. So I do wonder what kind of mental toll. I mean, we talked about Fultz and what he is potentially going through right now. Okafor seems to be going through the opposite, where when you dominate high school so thoroughly and then you get to Duke, win a national championship, and then you're the third overall pick, I mean, he was giving it to Towns their rookie year every time they matched up. He wasn't playing well against anyone else, but every time he played up against Towns, I know he has that pride in him where when he wants to show out, he can.
Oh, yeah. Like, that doesn't go away. Those back-to-the-basket moves don't go away. Even with the way the league's changed, like, they're still... Like, I think that there'll always be value in that. Like, a guy that could just, you could throw the ball to him and get two. Now, like, working on the other things, like, that's the process. I was trying to think of another word. I could not think of another word, the process. But that's the way, I just don't, he's played two games this year. He's 21. Like, I just find it hard to believe that there's just nowhere.
And we,
no role for this guy.
We don't even like the guy. And we're, this is how we talk. I got two teams who should absolutely be trying to trade for him right now. It's just a second-round pick. And it's the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors. Can you imagine the Warriors up already 20, and it's like the late second quarter, and they just put Okafor in for the last 6 minutes, and they run their offense through him?
Yeah, like, he's just killing possession. He's like a running back that comes in to kill the clock out.
Right, he's LeGarrette Blount.
Eat your fourth quarter carry. Yeah, just eat your fourth quarter carries.
Like, that would be terrifying. Like you don't even consider him in the game plan, and then all of a sudden, oh, we're going to sub in Jordan Bell and Jahlil Okafor and run our offense through him. And if he can learn to just pass to open shooters that are on the perimeter, and, like, we don't even care about his defense. Like, he can be a net negative in terms of, like, trading points, but he's probably going to get some other team in foul trouble at the bare minimum.
Oh, yeah. They could go... With what the Warriors have, they could easily go 1-4 out. So he's like, there's nobody within his zip code on offense.
Right.
And on defense, you playing with Durant or Draymond, or even like Iguodala Livingston, a guy that would just like walk up to him and be like, stand here. Like, just mold him like a dummy. Like, stand here, put your arms up, and we'll do the rest.
Right.
And they're like, another block by Okafor. He's turned it around.
Golden State getting Okafor, that would be a move that is so easy for them to make. I don't know what they like. I know they have like Omri Caspi on the roster. Like, do they need Omri Caspi to win a title? Like, probably not. Definitely not. I don't know why I said probably. Definitely not.
Yeah.
I don't know who.
They're 12th, man. Get Kevon Looney out there out in Philly. The X Factor.
Paul just mentioned his agent said Isaac is down for any type of basketball takes. He wants to get him out.
Nice.
He wanted to give takes, man. That's all he was here for. He was here to give takes.
I'm here for, like, I checked to see, like, he's got like a Twitter he's active on, so I was like, he's got a place to get these takes. He just wanted to get him off here. I respect
I'm a big fan that he wanted to come give him here. And then even afterwards, when we were like waiting for McAfee to start, he was asking me, he was like, so you miss Boston? Like, he was like, I think we're now actually pals with Isaac Bruce.
I like IB.
He almost swung on me when I was like, you know, when you look at that top receiver list, like Terrell Owens makes sense, Randy Moss makes sense, Isaac Bruce, you forget about that sometimes. It's like, why is that?
Hey, what the fuck you mean by that?
I was like, I don't know, man. Like, we chill out.
But chill, like, literally spent 15 minutes sucking your dick before you got here. Please relax.
Yeah. Wait
don't
till
kill
you,
us.
Wait till you listen back to this, baby. You're gonna be pumped.
We get like a text in a couple of days, man. I jump ship on you guys, man. I was too aggressive. I just listened to the show. You guys brought up my 1800 yard season where I didn't make the Pro Bowl. I forgot about that myself.
I do like me and Devin were just talking about it, trying to figure out like what videos he should cut up, and like we really just had like an NFL Hall of Famer like roast Michael Crabtree.
Oh yeah, it's like I. He was like, we got to get him in there with the black belt basketball player. Nothing says you need a tough guy like a football player needing to go to a basketball player.
Yeah, we might have Michael Crabtree on next week to defend his honor.
I'm here for it. Like to be fair, we should also have Talib on, though.
I was going
to say. At the same time, without either of them knowing.
Oh, I would much rather talk to Akib, but... Yeah, I guess if Crabtree wants to come on and try and defend himself,
I'd have you seen a Schefter just rubbing Crabtree's face in it with every tweet he sends?
Anytime you text me like you need to be on Twitter, I know I'm missing a good time. And I came on just long enough to see that when Adam Schefter is retweeting Black Adam Schefter.
Oh man,
He's like, wow, I usually hate this account because I'm actually white and not black, but a good meme's a good meme, goddammit.
Also, I didn't say any of these things. However, like that, he was like in the latest chain of events. I was like, did Crabtree like turn him down? Like, did Schefter get his start on like the Texas Tech beat or something? And Crabtree turned him down for an interview in like 06? Schefter's like, I bet. I got you.
Yeah, the initial tweet that sparked it all from Schefter, someone said it, like, how many times he must have reread that knowing he got it so perfectly. He basically called Tlaib, he was like, a known chain snatcher, keep Tlaib. And he taped it, and it doesn't matter, he got it again.
I think it was yesterday morning, he was like, I taped my mic to my shirt, I hope Mortensen doesn't snatch it off. I was like, Schefter, you're savage, baby. You talk about a loose cannon.
Yeah. I mean, when I think that's the thing, like when you got another NFL Hall of Famer saying he's disappointed in you, like that hurts, sure. When you got Adam Schefter getting jokes off on you, when Adam Schefter's not afraid of you, you gotta move like countries, planets potentially.
Talib's going to post a picture on his Instagram of him and Schefter in, like, VIP popping bottles. Wicks wearing chains. Schefter's going to have on both of Crabtree's chains. Wish you were here. And then at Michael Crabtree.
They write.
Crabtree 80 or whatever.
They write, wish you were here on, like, duct tape. Like, Sharpie on duct tape.
Just at Crabtree. He's just sad, like, in that picture where he's eating, like, 100 pancakes reading the newspaper.
Poor Michael Crabtree.
Like even like mild mannered Isaac Bruce was like, yeah, man, I would have went at his knees. Like, yeah. Yeah, I would have fucked his ass up, man. Like you wouldn't play IP like that.
Yeah, he was what did he say that was killing me? He said fuck, what was it?
He's like, I would have cut him till they called it.
Oh yeah, he said that, but he was like Crabtree got to the ground and then he just stopped fighting. Well, that's when the fight begins.
Now we do it in Lauderdale, baby.
Yeah, me and Crabtree were talking. Me and Bruce were talking about Miami. I was like, "You live there year round?" He was like, "Yeah, man." He was like, "You ever come down?" I was like, "Nah, sun's too strong for me down there."
Uses. Sun's just right in Miami.
No, I can't imagine it would treat me any sort of well.
Oh, yeah, the sun, that's what's stopping you, not the 86-hour train ride.
86-hour train ride to get fried up by the sun?
That's a win-win, buddy. Eat you some good seafood while you're there. I know you love a good...
Yeah, who knows how, like, I can't wait till What the Health 2, Reaping of the Sea comes out, and you're off seafood, too.
Oh, yeah, they do that. They're like, you know what's in crab cake? Stop. I'll never know what's in crab cake.
Shrimp aren't even food.
Hey, they're the roaches of the sea. Well, maybe I need to start eating roaches then. Goddamn. Those things are delicious.
I like calling lobsters the roaches of the sea. I don't think shrimps deserve that.
Yeah, I agree. Like, even if you just look, like, it's only the size thing.
Right.
Like, if you look, like, anatomically, yes, lobsters look like roaches.
Yeah, that's essentially the same thing as far as I'm concerned. But you know what I'm also concerned with?
Hmm?
Unless you're somewhere south of the equator... Sweater weather, it's here, Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
Time to pull out the long sleeve shirts, sweaters, and jackets. But if last year's layers are feeling tired, here's an easy way to give your you're like a cartoon dog that hasn't been given an actual voice.
I'm just reading the paper, baby. Reading the ad as it comes.
Tilt your head here and act confused, like your owner might have just said walk. Here's an easy way to give your closet a wake-up call. Wake-up call's just underlined. It's not like bold, italic, or capitalized, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think you put a little too much oomph on it. There was no exclamation point.
Give your closet a wake-up call.
It'll do. A little too much, but it's fine.
And it doesn't involve going shopping. Instead, you can get a cool, cold weather... What? You can get cool, cold... All right. I see what they did here. You can get cool, cold weather clothes.
Cold weather clothes. There it is.
The comma, it was like... That comma shouldn't be there. Because that means they're, like, describing, like, that means cold should also, I guess it, I don't know.
No, no, it's supposed to, that's what I say, like, they look cool, but they're for cold weather, you understand?
Yeah, that, I think that should be a hyphen, not a comma.
All right, fucking Dr. Seuss, read the ad.
Instead, you can get a cool, there's no A, I keep throwing that A in there. You can get cool, cold weather clothes from the style experts, not the grammar experts, at Stitch Fix. They've, see, now we've got an underlined and italicized.
Now we're talking. Now you put a little oomph on this, will you?
I feel like it's going to be like, I got to say this like wind chimes. They've taken everything you don't like about shopping for clothes. The crowded malls, the pushy salespeople, the endless online options, and replace them with simple website that one simple website that does all the work for you.
Let me tell you, I went to the mall today. So, yeah, the crowded mall, the pushy salespeople, they're even pushier than I last imagined. it's getting worse. Stitch Fix is, like, here and not a moment too soon.
Yeah, people like Stitch Fix keep getting malls out of here. So they know, like, oh, we got to – they're thinking we got to push harder that to get these sales off. But, oh, no. Au contraire.
Yeah, like, the people before, like, if you walk by them, like, the people at the kiosk would try to get your attention. Now you don't even have to walk by. Hey, sir, 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 sir.
Can I interest
you in some shit that you don't need at all? No? Be that way.
Do you want every picture you've ever taken on this mug?
No. Well, then, fine. Dine a fire. I'm like, hey, there's no way to make a sale.
The first time I ever drank lean for recreational purposes, not because I had a sore throat, I ended up going to a mall, and about not 15 steps into the mall, one of the cell phone kiosk guys tried to convince me why I should switch to, I can't remember what service it was.
It's probably Sprint. Those bastards are pushy.
And instead of just walking by pretending they weren't a human being like I normally do, I engaged. I engaged for a solid 25 minutes. My friends were livid. They were, I was like,
just speaking in slow motion.
I felt like I was speaking fine. I probably wasn't, but
I'll tell you about my phone.
I just gave this guy the big. He definitely probably never sold. He definitely quit that day after the talking to I gave him.
Was it Stern? Was it a Stern talking to?
It was like, listen, this is like, I'm not trying to say any of the companies here in case any of them want to sponsor us. But I was like,
you guys at Sprint are good guys. I was just joking.
Nope, Sprint's out. We're definitely not getting until they bring back that guy with the trench coat who used to sell cell phones. I'm out on Sprint. I just remember being like, look, pal, I know what your service is like. It's garbage. It's trash. Basura. This is what I have. This is top of the line, you see? And he was like, yeah, it is. And that just went on. Like he never tried to disagree with me. That just went on for 20 minutes.
Like, I feel like, I don't want to speak for anybody, I feel like that's street harassment, like, for men. Like, I was like, is that how women feel all the time? Like, hey, how you doing? I'm not interested. Hey, but what's wrong? What kind of phone you got? I'm not interested. My phone is better. Hey, man, I'm not interested. Like, goddamn, I'm trying to, like, let me go. I wouldn't treat you that way. My phone service would never treat you that way.
Never.
Your man let you out the house with that bad phone? Couldn't be me.
Yeah, you're gonna neg those. You're gonna neg them. You're gonna make them.
Oh yeah,
make them feel like I don't even want you to join my cell phone provider.
My man takes care of all my cell phone bills. Thank you very much.
Just go to stitchfix.com and answer some basic questions about your sizes, your favorite styles, and your budget. Your personal stylist will take it from there, handpicking 5 pieces based on your preferences. ! All for a small.
My personal stylist was like, she was like, I like the show. I don't even know if she listened to the show, but she thought enough of it to say that she likes the show. I'm a fan.
Yeah, no, that's going above and beyond. You know what I mean?
Correct. Both above and beyond. I agree.
Yep. All for a small styling fee of just $20. Now, that sounds like, why would I? I mean, I hate shopping too, but like, I can probably just pick out some mediocre stuff. Why would I pay $20? You're really not. That $20, if you keep any item of your fix, just any of just one of the 5, 20%. This is that's like what, an 80% chance? I don't know. There are numbers involved here.
I read the letters, baby, not the numbers.
So if you keep any item, that $20 just goes right to your purchase. So you're not really paying $20. Like, you're just helping someone else get like a quick $20, but it really doesn't affect your bottom line at all.
That's what I'm saying. And like you said, like the styles, everything is to your preferences. You're going to like it. At the very least, you're going to like something they send you.
Yeah. Period. The 5 items are delivered to your home. You try them on and only pay for what you keep. Just send back anything you don't want. Shipping is free both ways. This isn't some, the Stitch Fix is not owned by UPS, FedEx, DSL, or any of the other big ship. They're,
big initials.
They're not in this for the shipping. You don't like these clothes, you big dumb idiot. We'll sell them to someone else, no problem. Because these
we'll have somebody else looking stylish.
Yeah. Exchange is also free in the shipping. So if something comes, you like it, but it's a little too big, a little too small, you can send that right back. They'll send it right back to you, blink of an eye. Best of all, there's no subscription there's no subscription required and no club to join. Get your fix monthly, quarterly, or on demand whenever you want, so long as you get it. I'll promise you'll be hooked. Reading's real hard today for the Mick, man. Get started now at stitchfix.com. Thanks, pal. /tape. And you'll also get 25% off when you keep all 5 items in your box. That's stitchfix.com/TAPE to get started today. Stitchfix.com/tape.
Yeah, that's a win, man. Like, you keep one, the 20 goes for a credit. You keep all of them, that's 25% off.
So,
and free shipping. Yeah, they're basically like, hey, here's a bunch of stylish ass clothes.
And that's basically saying, like, even if you don't like that 5th item, if you keep it, you get it for free, because 25%, like 5 items, a grand total would be 100% if you keep all 5. You remove one of those, that's only 20%. So you're just you'd be a fool to return one of those items when you could get it basically for free.
Correct. But where? How will I earn my money for Stitch Fix?
Listen, I'm not going to tell people what to do for work. People get their money all sorts of ways, legally, illegally. I probably shouldn't have said that. Legally.
Legally and more legally.
Yeah, the most legal way I know. BetDSI.
Mm-hmm.
I think underdogs had a huge, like, first half of the season, if I've heard correctly from other people who pay more attention to this stuff. Like, the first, like, 2 months of this NFL season was underdog heavy. They were covering left and right. And
yeah, that's before we knew everybody stinks. That sounds about right.
Right, correct. So that's going to be pretty heavily corrected. I think, like, mostly favorites covered this past weekend. And I could just see that. Like, the Patriots were, like, a 17-point favorite this weekend. I think they won by 18. Like, that's just going to keep, like, Patriots could be 20-point favorite against the Bills. I would bet on the Patriots. I think it's only 9. That's way too low. Tom Brady's lost, like, twice to the Buffalo Bills ever.
Who starts? Is it Peterman at the wheel? Do we know?
It is not Peterman. It's not the Pete man.
Shame. For shame.
Bill Belichick was just singing praises to Tyrod Taylor all the live long day.
Yeah, stinks. Let me tell you about this 2nd-and-11 he had one time in 06. It was short of the markers. Now, he made it a very manageable 3rd-and-2, which he managed to convert with his feet the very next play. However, checked the short of the chains, man. What can I do with that?
That dude who wants you dead listens. He listens to this. Because he tweeted me, he says, I do follow you. And I know for a fact you didn't on Sunday. I looked. I fucking looked.
He's writing his wrong.
Yeah. He's like, oh, well, now that you mention it, I'll tweet you about your takes as well. Please don't.
If only it was that easy.
If only. If only. But BetDSI is that easy, Withers. Mm-hmm. They've been in business over 20 years, paying winners. A-plus rated on sportsbook review sites. Use your sports knowledge to make some extra cash, unless you're that guy we're talking about who's probably in the poorhouse betting losers.
True.
BetDSI is an easy-to-use mobile playing interface. You play, you win, you get paid. BetDSI offers odds on everything football, including live betting and props as games are in action. BetDSI offers...
A lot of random caps in there. Like, they were hype about it.
Yep.
They're hype about the odds, football, and live, all capitalized, baby. Heck yeah.
Yeah, it's honestly easier to read.
These old eyes, heck yeah. Yeah.
The reading does hurt, like, not my brain, but my eyes. I don't know what it is. My eyes are going rapidly.
Old age, that's what it is, I'm telling you.
For someone, like, I had 20/20 for the longest time. I might be at, like, 9/8 right now.
Oh, no, it goes the other way. You're at 100/100.
No, I'm at 9/8. I have the worst eye, like, they're so good, they're actually bad type deal.
You can see, like, the details, like, the dot on the eye is so defined that you just, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
you can't see the trees for the forest. I got you.
Yeah, like I need my phone like in a different, like a building across the street, and I'd read this perfectly. Mm. BetDSI offers odds on pretty much everything else too, including all major sports, politics, reality TV, pretty much everything. Use
nice.
Promo code TAPE25 and get a $25 free wager just for registering. If you decide to deposit, you will get a 200% bonus match on your money. That's free $25. And a free 200% match on whatever it is you donate.
Imagine, just for signing up, you got your Stitch Fix money right there.
Yeah, like you don't even have to use your sports knowledge yet. This is just regular knowledge, like regular dumb, common sense knowledge. Even you dumb-dumbs can figure out.
Even for the faceless, not for them. Never mind, nah.
Yeah,
I got ahead of myself.
Yeah, not quite them. Those guys are...
Beyond repair.
Yeah, whew. I play there myself and recommend BetDSI if you want to add a little extra excitement to the games you are watching. Once again, go to BetDSI.com, use promo code TAPE25, get a free $25 wager on the house, and 200% extra bonus when you deposit. That's TAPE25 to get your free wager and start winning today, tomorrow, the next day, until you get into a winning regimen that one could only describe as regularly to the maximum.
No one would describe it that way. Not a soul. Not a soul.
You know who might?
Not a soul.
Isaac Bruce might.
Let's ask him.
And that's, yeah. Get back in here, Isaac. No, he's...
Yeah, you guys ring?
Yeah. that's coming up now. The future NFL Hall of Famer, tremendous wide receiver. Fourth all-time as of this recording. Second all-time as of when he retired in receiving yards, Isaac Bruce of the St. Louis and L.A. Rams. Enjoy.
For the year 2G, the rap game changed with one name. Jules aim to slain anything on his plane. Remains are found when the best kept secret get heated. You went platinum with a ghostwriter, so in the game you won, you cheated.
This is Mixtape. This is another Hall of Fame edition. I'm ready to say that already because for some reason it hasn't happened. Former St. Louis Rams, not L.A. Rams, St. Louis Rams wide receiver.
True.
Isaac Bruce. How's it going, fella?
All's well, man. I got a little L.A. in me. I got drafted when they were still in Los Angeles. And,
okay.
And played 1 year out there before we moved to St. Louis. So all's well, man. Thanks for having me on.
So you even mad they moved back since you played for both?
I wasn't totally upset. I mean, you know, Los Angeles, you know, it was beautiful when I was there. I went to junior college out there and had a good time and came back as a 21-year-old with some money. So I had a good time in L.A.
So you were mad, actually, that they were in St. Louis in the first
place. Oh, I got upset by that move. Honestly, I did. I didn't know what to expect, man. And you know, cold weather and Fred Sanford. And, you know, that's pretty much all I knew about St. Louis, to be honest.
You're like, oh, I got it made. I'm out in L.A. I got some money. And they're like, Isaac, we got some bad news.
Yeah,
like,
man. That was it. That was it.
So do you still... I do wonder this. Do you, like, care about the Rams now, or are you back on the Dolphins? Because you grew up a Dolphins fan, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was a Dolphin fan up until the moment I got drafted, and then all of that went out the window.
Okay.
You know, the Rams got my blood. You know, it's on the fields, on the jerseys, and, you know, retired the numbers. So, you know, I can only be a football fan. It's only for the Rams. I don't care where they are.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I respect that because we have a couple guys from St. Louis in the building,
and
they just can't look at the team anymore. They just can't do it, and it's a tough year for them to do that because it was 7-3.
Right. I mean, you know, 21 seasons in St. Louis, Super Bowl championship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard for those guys to really just give it up. But you know, when they see the success that they're having this year, who knows? Once they get back in the playoffs, you know, some of those old memories start kicking in for those guys, and they have to claim again.
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots. I'm a Patriots fan. Sorry.
Okay. I was just talking about you.
Yeah? What about?
I mean, you know, the Patriots, man. I mean, you know, Spygate and all that stuff.
Man. Oh, man.
You know about that.
You guys stink. Oh, I was just talking about
you. You know about that. Come on.
How about when they blew the whistle when Antoine Smith was clearly down, or didn't blow the whistle?
He was clearly down,
when he was clearly down, and you guys recovered that up real quick.
Come on.
What camera caught that one?
Come on.
Not ours, apparently.
I remember a running back from San Diego. He once said, "If you're not cheating, you're not trying." Right.
I'm fine with that. Listen, okay. I'm a Celtics fan. Red Auerbach invented cheating.
All right.
So I'm okay with it. Like the Deflategate shit bothered me because we played worse with the deflated balls.
Mm.
Like Brady, I think he was 100% completion second half against the Colts, and first half we were running the ball.
So what's the reasoning behind deflating the balls? I mean, looking for a competitive advantage, or
that's the thing. I think he was trying to make it even for the other team because we were beating the Colts by 100. So it's like
nice guy Tom Brady.
Yeah, no nice guy Tom Brady.
No, you know what? He has my respect now. I mean, wholeheartedly. I mean, any guy that can be down the amount of points that he was in this past Super Bowl and take the licking that he was taking, he became an old school quarterback to me after that game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I had several heart attacks during that game, so I hope I got some respect as well. But I was told you wanted to come here and talk some hoop. Is that true?
We can talk some basketball, man. I'm a basketball fan as well, too.
Our boy Devlin, who walked you in, he tried to look up some Isaac Bruce basketball takes on the internet. There was nothing.
Zero.
Not a one.
So
zero.
This has been the hardest interview to prep for.
only intramural. You know, with my football teammates back at Memphis. I did go to a basketball school in Memphis.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, we were considered a basketball school.
And you guys were the intramural team of all football
absolutely.
Players who
thought
you could hoop?
We were the guys who toughened up the basketball players, you know, for their games, you know.
Because, very, very full contact basketball.
Always. No fouls. Only if you got blood, you know, you get the ball back. So that was us.
So what was your game like? Were you a slasher? Were you a 3-and-D guy?
I had to be a slasher. I never developed a left hand, and driving to the hoop, I was pretty good. But then I kind of turned into, you know, the Bruce Bowen type. You know, I'm going to make sure I really defend you. Really defend. It's all in the game. Make sure I really defend you, but I can hit the open 3-point shot. That was me.
And kick people in the face.
Absolutely. Yeah. That was me. I don't think Ray Allen would have liked me much.
I can't imagine. No. No. Have you been following what's going on with Ray Allen these days?
I saw a little bit of it. I really didn't get into it. So.
He was getting catfished big time.
Was he?
By people with like one follower and just like one picture of a girl. Ray Allen is the horniest man on the internet.
Is that
by
right?
By far. So he was getting.
Hey, drink water out of your own cistern, man. Out of your own cistern, please.
He was not. And
well, he was. He was just also trying to drink out of everyone else's.
True. And so he had to start. He started stalking the guy. It was the same guy over and over again. It wasn't different catfish. It was just one guy creating different profiles,
right?
Just getting after him. And Ray, it was driving him nuts. He started stalking that guy. And it's in court right now, isn't it, Tyler?
Yeah. Now the guy's saying like they had, I guess, some kind of relationship, and that's why all this is coming out. Like it's, I don't know, it's getting messy.
All right, moving right along.
Right, yeah. More power to him, but
I'm a Ray Allen fan, man. Moving right along. I don't want to destroy my image I have on you, so please, thank you.
You're here with repping the Isaac Bruce Foundation, which focuses on educational opportunities, promoting fitness and healthy lifestyles.
Right.
Started in 06. Is that I also read you changed your diet during your career?
Back in 2005.
Okay.
I had a turf toe injury, and you know, I ended up picking up a book and really learning about, you know, what works with the body and what doesn't work with the body. And I was delightfully surprised that, you know, as far as eating and what to eat, how it extended my career. So it helped me from that aspect. And you know what, I can see the guys who do and the guys who don't. So I think it's big. I think it's one of the things that, you know, my league and leagues like the NBA should really dive into it, and I think it'll help the players in the long run.
Yeah, I know Kyrie just came out and said he was like full vegan. I know it's like sweeping the NBA right now.
Yeah.
But I also saw you were a big M&M's guy before this.
I was. I mean, you know, on the charter flights to and from, especially from, you know, we leave St. Louis and coming back from a place like Seattle. You know, they have all the big sneaker bars and the M&M's. And, you know, I'd grab me a big bag of M&M's and I'd just pop them, you know, like they were Tic Tacs. So.
What kind of M&M's are we talking about?
Peanut.
Here? Okay. Yeah. That's your number one?
Yeah. Got to have the peanuts in them. Okay. So, I mean, I take them home, stick them in the bag, and, you know, I go to work on them.
Are you a big peanut butter M&M guy too, or is it only peanut?
Just peanut, man. Just okay. Peanut, yeah.
Are you back on them since you stopped playing?
No, not at all. I mean, you know, fortunately, I was able to kick that habit, and you know, it didn't come home with me, you know, for my daughters, you know, for their sake, you know. And I'm real strict about what they eat, and you know, so you know, the candy, I'm really limited on my candy intake.
I wish, man. I wish I had that kind of self control. You see how I look. It's not great.
Well, you do. I mean, everybody can develop it, man. It just takes a little discipline, a little time. Preparation is key. I mean, as far as when my diet habits changed, I had to make sure that, you know, the right food was around when I got hungry. And, I became a grazer, you know, with the nuts and that type of stuff. So, and it ended up benefiting me. I went, you know, my speed, quickness, flexibility came back. And like I said, it extended my career.
Was it harder to do, I guess, while you were playing, or is it harder to keep up with now? But now that you're like, hey, maybe I can have a burger and a slice of pizza and several thousand M&Ms.
Well, I think initially it was a little bit more tough because, you know, they have tons of food for players already set out as far as drinks and things of that nature. But, you know, I had to look at it this way. You know, we do get paid to play, and it's all right to, you know, hire somebody to prepare that stuff for you and have it already prepared. And you know, it's kind of what I did. I went that route and had a guy, you know, building and making me salads and doing my dinner. And this was all before I got married and everything. So, you know, it kind of worked out.
Yeah, I would say that longevity. I mean, I think when people think all-time wide receivers, Randy Moss comes to mind, Jerry Rice comes to mind.
Why is that? Why?
They were loud personalities. They were in people's face. But when you look at that all-time list.
But does it have anything to do with what you did on the field?
Absolutely not. Okay, cool. But, I mean, Randy Moss, very good at football.
Oh, yeah.
I think we all agree.
Very good. Very good player. Very good player.
But when you look at that list, Isaac Bruce, fourth.
Yeah.
All-time receiving yards. Yeah. I think that
second when I retired.
Right. Tyler brought that up earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you mad Larry Fitz might pass you?
You know what? I was trying to talk the guy into retiring early. I saw him at the Hall of Fame this past summer, man. He was sitting next to me. I was like, dude, I mean, why?
You proved enough.
I don't think he really understand what I was trying to get him to do. But I was like, dude, man, what more? What more do you have to prove, man? You know, you've been in your Super Bowls and all that stuff. Go ahead and give it up, man.
Larry, man, you look terrible, man. Get some rest, buddy. Sit down for a minute.
I think that would have motivated him, so I didn't want to tell him that. I wanted just, you know, say thank you, man. You brought a lot to the game. Go ahead and tip your cap.
Yeah, you're already in this building.
Absolutely.
Why we were trying to figure out the NFL Hall of Fame earlier. What's their fucking problem?
I'm not sure. I don't think there's a criteria that these guys have in front of them that they have to measure, you know, what they base, you know, a player's candidacy off. And if they do, maybe they're not using it. You know, they always talk about a log jam being at the wide receiver position. You know, personally, I never put myself in that position. I think my career is different from all those other guys, not taking anything from them.
Well, for sure.
But I think that if they had a model or a criteria, they can say, okay. I mean, there's one in baseball. If you look at it, and, you know, guys can see in increments how far they get. You know, they're probably 27% their first year, the next year probably 50, or they may come in and be 100% and bam, there you go. You have enough. So I don't think we have that. I think one of the big things is that they allowed former players into the scrutinizing, you know, into the room where they're scrutinizing players this past season, Dan Fouts and James Lofton. So they were in there. Those guys have, you know, eyes. They know football purists, and they are football purists, and they know the game, and they – players know players, even in the NBA.
Oh,
I mean, guys know who can play and know what guys bring to the table. So it's the same thing in football. So those defensive coordinators who have coordinated in the NFL, I mean, I'd love to see those guys go in and ultimately have a vote as well.
Yeah, I mean, it just – you talked about the logjam, and we were talking about it earlier, because T.O. didn't get in, you didn't get in, and Randy Moss is on the ballot next year. Yeah. So, like, are they just trying to have you all come in together and be like, look at how fucking good these three guys are?
That's what I think. I mean, I think it should happen. You had two running backs go in last year. So it shouldn't be odd to have three wide receivers go in. in 1 year. I mean, why not? I mean, right. I'd love to be that one to, you know, kind of kick the door open for the other guys to, you know, kind of follow me in there.
Yeah,
Hines Ward too. Your boy Toy Holtz on
absolutely.
Like, I mean, yeah, like bring them all in. I agree.
Why not? Eventually, it's going to happen for him. So, you know, why wait?
The NBA, they get criticized for letting everyone in, and I don't know why that's a problem. Like, there are a lot of good NBA players.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a lot.
That's true.
St. Louis did not have a basketball team while you were there.
No.
L.A., I hate their basketball team while you
I'm
were there.
I'm a Miami Heat fan.
Miami Heat fan.
I grew up
okay.
in South Florida. We didn't have a team for a very long time,
yep.
so I kind of floated from Philadelphia to the Detroit Pistons and, you know, Chicago Bulls, and then we finally got a team. You know, it's something I clinched on to after that, and I've been a Miami Heat fan since then, especially with, you know, Pat Riley being there and leading the charge. So I think he's you know, one of the better general managers, presidents that's in the league.
Yeah, he's done it all. Yeah. Phil tried to beat Pat Riley and saw how difficult that can be.
Yeah, it's a different animal. I think, you know, for me being a Heat fan, I think Pat Riley has one more up his sleeve, man. He's always been that guy. You know, from Lonzo to Shaq to really drafting D. Wade and then bringing guys on the team and surrounding those guys with players who can win championships. So I'm trying to use my general manager eye and see who's out there that Pat Riley may be focused in on and who he can trick to, you know, ultimately giving up one of their best players and bringing him to South Beach.
I like where your head's at. We were giving Miami a little credit earlier.
Yeah.
Because of like how they got Hassan Whiteside out of nowhere, right off the scrap heap to one of the 5-6 best centers in the NBA. Yeah. I thought he got an absolute steal of a pick in Justice Winslow, friend of the program.
I thought so too.
And I do think they are a team that always terrifies. They always seem to have unlimited cap space too. Like whenever there's a big free agent class, they always have all of the space in the world.
Right.
Because Pat Riley's just a finesser like that.
Right.
So as a Celtics fan, yeah, that does terrify me. I would like no more, but if I don't know. Is LeBron coming back? He's a free agent this year.
It'd be tough. I think he'd have to really corral a couple of other all-stars to really come back to his second home. I'd love to see it. You know, I'd reestablish my, you know, my season tickets again if that happened. But I think that, you know, the possibilities are there. It could happen. Like I said, it's going to have to be Pat Riley to get that one. Maybe, you know, the big kid down in New Orleans.
Boogie?
No, not Boogie.
Oh, AD?
AD. If we can trick that front office and, you know, trying to kind of get him there, and that puts him right in, you know, on a path to a championship, I think. I mean, it's been done before, and Pat's been a guy who can convince guys to come down and win a championship with him.
Do you think, like, the way things ended up with Dwayne Wade, he left, you know, unfavorable terms, the Chris Bosh situation. Do you think that kind of damages, like, the kind of, like, I guess, like, whisper reputation that Pat Riley had? Like, yeah, if he can get a guy in a building or get a guy to have a sit-down meeting, he's in there. You think that hurts it any, or is just a couple of bad breaks?
I don't think it hurts. I mean, I think Pat always stressed the culture, family, atmosphere. So at times you have arguments with family. I mean, there are times when, you know, you're probably not speaking to this guy and he's your blood brother. I mean, I got a family of 14, one of 15. And, you know, we always don't see eye to eye, you know, but, you know, we're still family. And that's the way I see it going with Wade right now. So eventually he'll be back in South Florida, probably play another season, then go ahead and retire and have a position with the team. So, I mean, it's home. I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, I'm grateful to have. I have a home in the NFL. I can always go back to the Rams and say, yo, what's going on right here? You know, sweep this up right here. It's my home. So I'm fortunate to have that, and D-Wade has the same thing.
I'm trying to think. Dwayne Wade is a player I loved when he first broke into the league, when he was the Flash, when he was Flash Wade.
Yeah.
And then he intentionally snapped Rajon Rondo's arm in half.
Intentionally?
People don't fall like that.
That's allegedly.
Not how falls happen. So I was a little bitter. A little bitter, but then they were pals last year. So if Rondo can forgive him, I can forgive him.
I think he got his arm a little stuck in there, man.
You
got to play for whistle.
Hold him down. You know? Yeah. Who would you take? You could draft them both when they were 19, 20. Who would you take to be the starting shooting guard for your franchise, Dwayne Wade or Kobe Bean Bryant? Because I think prime for prime, you could make a case for either of them.
Okay, taking my heart out of the decision. I'd have to say Kobe Bryant, because Kobe Bryant was, he had a vision, a plan.
Kick Shaq out.
And was willing to execute it, no matter what, by any means necessary. And, you know, he worked on his game relentlessly. We talked about nutrition early. You can tell this guy, you know, kind of read up on it and implemented those principles. But, you know, he's a champion. He was going to be a multiple champion no matter what. So, you know, if I was starting a team, I'd definitely pick him. And he'd be my guy. It'd be a close pick, but, you know, I'd definitely go with Kobe.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty. If I want a guy to make everybody else on my team hate him, then I think that's definitely the pick, without a question.
Hey, you can't be friends with everybody, man. It's a problem.
This is
when everybody speaks well of you, it's an issue, man. You can't be friends with everyone.
In Kobe's mind, you can't be friends with anybody.
There you go. Similar on my terms, we can be friends. Yeah, so.
You talked about him reading up on nutrition and stuff. He studies like shark patterns of like how they hunt, and he implements that onto how he plays deep. Kobe is a different kind of cat.
That's like, great.
He's a very, very strange human being who – he's got five rings. You can't say
that's
anything
true.
About that.
That's There's true.
Nothing you can say. I would
Congratulations.
Like to. I would certainly like to, but I've been bashing Eli a lot the past 12 hours or so, Eli Manning. So I can't also bash Kobe right now. I got too much on my plate. It's a very full plate.
You bashing Eli? How come?
It's not really fully bashing because he beat the Patriots twice. Like that's a thing that happened. There's
Absolutely.
Nothing I can do about that.
Right.
I was making the point that I think the Chargers won that trade. They got Phillip Rivers, who I think is also who's put up better regular season numbers. He doesn't have the rings. He absolutely does not. Doesn't have the rings. He has way better regular season numbers. And Eli did not want to play for the Chargers. He forced his way out of there before they even drafted him.
He cannot believe it.
You're saying they won the trade? Now, we're not talking player versus player. We're just talking production and.
Yeah, I mean, they've got more than just Phillip Rivers, too.
Okay.
They got Sean Merriman. He brought up Nate Kading earlier. I don't really count kickers. I don't know. How do you feel about kickers? You're going to talk to one later.
I got much respect. Much respect, man. They got one job to do, two jobs. Make sure the golf game is good and make the kick. I mean, that's their job, man. And, you know, we had a kicker, Jeff Wilkins. He's my guy. He was my guy on the team. I didn't just look at him as a kicker. He actually played football. So he got that respect. But
okay. So as a player.
Super Bowls are always more valuable than stats.
No doubt.
So. I mean, I got to go with the Giants winning that trade.
So my thing when we were talking about that earlier, because, again, they did. If the Giants had to come to New England like Phillip Rivers did, would they have won those games? Because I don't know if they would have. It's different. Yeah. Neutral field versus home field is different. Maybe that's just me being not playing the game.
That's true. I mean, it is different. I mean, but.
Like, LaDainian Tomlinson, he would just be sitting on the bench late third quarter like there's nothing we can do. He's just shaking his head behind his Darth Vader visor. And he's just like, there's nothing we can do.
That's it for tonight, huh?
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done out here.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, again, those flags fly forever. He's got those two rings.
That's
I think
right.
They're both going to end up in the hall with you someday. I can't say the Chargers lost that trade. Like,
well, Super Bowls trump. Any other thing, man. I mean, that's just the way it is. It trumps Pro Bowls. It trumps, you know, all pros. And it trumps those things. So for a guy to lead a team and ultimately be the Super Bowl MVP twice, I mean, the trade itself. Now, player versus player, that's a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
I just don't like – I don't know if Tom should have as many Super Bowl MVPs as he does.
Well,
Eli wasn't exactly lighting up the box score in those games.
That's true.
Like if you could give a whole defensive line a Super Bowl MVP.
Oh, absolutely.
Like those eight guys, those two times, should have got those MVPs.
That's the league what we play in. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are certain guys that they, you know, keep the light shining on. And it's really easy for a quarterback to win league MVP. It's really easy for a quarterback to win Super Bowl MVP. I mean, they just have to play a regular game. 250 yards. I mean,
don't fuck up.
Yeah, exactly. And you're Super Bowl MVP. You're in the run for it. So that's the way it is.
I was just like, take it from me. I had the 75-yard game-winning Super Bowl touchdown.
162 yards total of, you know, five or six catches, man, in the touchdown, you know. I was like, I got the trophy.
Yeah.
I'm going to be MVP. But they say, no, you're not. We already have one.
The NFL's so strange. NBA.
It's fun, though.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. It's a whole lot of watching.
Yeah.
Watch. Although, the
and playing.
I don't know what it is. The older I get watching, those hits look more and more vicious. Do you get that watching?
Oh, man. It's different now for me watching because I've stood on the sidelines pregame and during play, and I've seen how big these guys are. and I've seen some of the hits, some of the collisions that's happened on the field, and I'm like, whoa, man, who does this? You know, you have to be kind of like off your rocker to really go out there and do right. this. And, you know, then I have to answer that question and say, you did it. So, I mean, it's a vicious sport, but, you know, it's a great sport.
It is. And I know a lot of people worry about it dying. I don't think it ever will. I think it's too ingrained in society.
It's going to be around.
Yeah. But it is terrifying to watch. It's incredible to watch because there is a lot of finesse involved.
True.
But in those trenches, just some of these hits. Like Amari Cooper, like had to almost get carried off the field last week, like stuff like that. It's like Jesus fuck, like what's going on?
Well, some of that stuff, you know, when your technique is where it's supposed to be, you can avoid a whole lot of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't take many shots, but I did get hit. But it's important that you know when you're in practice and you have a coach, you know, telling a receiver, listen, make sure you go flat down this line. And in the game, he doesn't do that, but he kind of veers up the field. I mean, you're asking for it. Right. So, you know, a trained eye can see guys who are not receiving the coaching that's being given to them. And that ultimately gets you into trouble. A lot of that stuff can be avoided if, you know, if you just go underneath or go over the top, make sure you're flat on this route or on your slants, be flatter so that you're not running right into this guy. Because the guy has a choice to make. He's going to go for the football. Hopefully he's a ball hawk. Goes for the football instead of trying to knock you out. So, you know, you have some guys out there.
You think the era changed any of that? It's something Coley and I talked about last week, like guys like yourself, Torrey Holt, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, guys that kind of made the catch and like avoided that big hit. But the way defensive backs played then was different than the way they play now. You think that has anything to do with it?
Well, you know, the name of the game is not to be tackled as far as the offensive player is concerned. But, you know, you're going to catch a big hit every now and then. But most of the times, you know, you're going to get what you can get. And if you don't get it, if it's not there, hey, I'll catch your next play. But, you know, I came from that era where, you know, the defensive backs, I mean, they didn't start off with chest shots. You know, they started off with head shots. I believe that was in a rap song long time ago. But but those guys, I mean, they were trying to take your heads off. And, I mean, it was, it was kind of a great equalizer. I think right now, you know, for wide receivers, you can go across the middle of the field and talk smack to guys. I mean, you couldn't do that when I was playing because – you know, today guys have to worry about being fined, being ejected from a game, or things of that nature. For me, no, they were gonna, you know, get justice right on the field, right there.
Right. All right, next play, I'm coming. You know, ASAP.
Yeah, I'm coming to get you. So that was the beauty of it.
I want to transition back to basketball, but there was something that happened this past weekend that had happened before. What can Michael Crabtree do to no longer get his chain snatched and essentially his pride along with it?
Yeah,
like what could he possibly do? Does he just have to like call in sick every time they get the Broncos on the schedule?
I had Michael his rookie year, my last 2 years in Northern California. And, you know, I was, you know, the way he's developed as a receiver, I'm really excited about it, but the way he allows people to kind of take advantage of him on the field, I'm a little disappointed. And number one, what could he do? He could stop wearing a chain, number one.
I feel like he can, though.
That's number one. But if it's in his look, go ahead and keep your chain on, man, and don't allow guys to get that close to you. I mean, especially those ones that you know you have a beef with.
Right.
Because, you know the guys that you have a beef with. You know, you see him in the studio, out in the streets. You know, I'm going to either go this way and you go that way.
I don't know what you think we do here.
but football is different.
You know, tools, yes.
Yeah, you touch, you know, you put your hands on people constantly in football in a vicious way. And there's verbal talk going along with it. So, you know, keep the guy out of your space and make sure you play through the whistle with this guy. Because, you know, he's trying to prove a point by pulling your chain and keep pulling your chain. So.
I feel like he's in a tough spot. Like, if he doesn't wear the chain, like, that is already a loss in some regards.
Yeah.
But if he wears it, I mean, he taped it this past week. I don't know if you heard this.
Well, that's a loss. He adjusted it. You know, he adjusted it
tremendously
by putting it on, you know, taping it up. I'm like, you know, something was happening. So he anticipated something happened. So my thing is, you know, if you're going to get kicked out of the game, you're ultimately going to fight. Go ahead and start just cutting the guy. I mean, you know, just cut it. Shoot at his knees. I mean, that's what I used to do. I mean, I'm going to do it until I get fined, until the referee tells me to stop doing it. But you're not getting my chain. I'm going to control this moment right here.
Yeah.
It's me.
Yeah. I hope, Crabtree, I know you're listening. Take Isaac Bruce's advice. But back to basketball. What I know you said you're a big Heat fan. What are some of your like five favorite players that aren't on the Heat right now?
They're not on the Heat. Who do I like? I like Damian Lillard.
Okay.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Who else? Booker for Phoenix.
Yeah, we're big Devin Booker guys.
Yeah, I like him too. You know, just being at home, I really like Dragic, the way he plays. I mean, he's always 100 miles per hour.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get to the rim, you know, which opens up other things. But
he's infuriating when your team's playing against him because you're like, just stop him. Just please right. get the ball out of his hands. Right. Like, make him pass it because every time he gets to the rim, it's just like, well, there's 3 points. Yeah. Like, here's it comes an and one.
Yeah.
And it's infuriating.
Well, I'll throw this one at you. I'm sure you'll like this one. Avery Bradley. I like the way he plays, man. I mean, this guy's like a bulldog on defense.
He is.
And, you know, he's adding offense to his game. So, you know, I like him. I like him a lot.
Every year he adds something to his offense. The only thing he can't add is throwing a bounce pass. He tries to throw those through like five defenders, and it never gets to them.
It doesn't work. Huh?
He also thinks he's about 6'9", because when he drives to the rim, he'll never throw up a floater. He'll always try and bang on someone, and it hasn't worked yet. It has not worked yet. But, yeah, I love Avery Bradley. I miss him dearly. Yeah. He just,
they're doing pretty good this year in
he
Detroit,
is.
Right?
This is exactly why I miss him. Like, he changed Detroit. He came in and he changed that culture. He told everybody, he's like, hey, Andre Drummond, actually practice your free throws. Like, shockingly, that'll work.
Right.
And the whole team looks different. Stan Van Gundy looks like a genius just because we had to trade him to clear cap space.
Right.
I miss him dearly. I'm glad. I knew he was going to come in and win that game. There was no way he was ever going to lose that. He's just that kind of guy.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to be talking to Avery Bradley today. I'm glad you brought him up.
Hey, man. You know, I'm all about the underdog. Guys, you're not really getting that light shined on them as they should, but I like Avery Bradley.
Every NBA player we've had come in here, I've in a roundabout way forced them to talk about Avery Bradley. Uh-huh. I didn't know you were going to come in here and talk about Avery Bradley. So,
well, I feel like they've brought up Booker. Like, Booker or Bradley, those guys always come up when we get NBA guys in here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have NBA eyes then, right?
You do.
Okay.
You
cool,
do.
Man.
I don't know if you know this. The internet, basketball Twitter thinks Devin Booker is actually bad.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
When a 20-year-old scores 70 points in a game, you hate to see that.
Yeah.
You
that's
really?
True. That's true. I mean, you know, we did get Winslow, but Booker was still there.
Before that draft, I thought Winslow was the second best player coming out.
Really?
I really did. He just does everything.
Yeah.
His shot's still not there. But he missed pretty much all last year with an injury.
True.
And he's still, 22?
Yeah.
I think he's going to be fine. He's a winner.
I think he's in the right atmosphere.
Correct.
I mean, because you have, you know, the Pat Riley, make sure you're in shape, conditioning type thing. You know, he's done it with Ike Austin. He's done it now with James Johnson. James Johnson was a little heavy, you know, in other teams. When he gets down to South Beach, man, you know, you put that emphasis on conditioning.
Yep.
He's a different player now.
James Johnson's terrifying. It might just beat up.
He's a black belt too, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, that's exactly what it is.
So.
Yeah, we had Terry Rozier in here, and we said, who's the last person you'd want to like get into a fight with in the NBA? He said James Johnson immediately.
He and Crabtree up, you know, so he can.
That's what he needs.
Yeah, that's what Mike needs. Let's make that happen.
Yeah.
He needs muscle at him. Let's just have him on the sideline at all times.
I was impressed because Crabtree kept his mouthpiece in the whole time, man. It was just dangling, but, you know, he wasn't. He didn't have his feet set to throw a punch, man.
Yeah, I saw people giving Tlaib shit for keeping his helmet on. It's like, well, Tlaib ripped off Crabtree's helmet.
Yeah,
so Crabtree should have ripped off his.
Well, what I saw was, you know, the engage, Crabtree pushing, the chain being snatched. And by the time Crabtree got him on the ground on the sidelines, he wanted to stop fighting. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, he ended up on his back, and Tlaib was like, no, it's a brawl now, man.
This is the beginning.
Malice at the palace, right? So I didn't get it. I'm like, well, what are you doing, man? It's a fight.
He did kind of just stop, like, all right, well, I got you to the ground. That's
No, that's not the end of it. It's the beginning. Yeah. Weird, man.
It was very strange. I keep almost going back to football and trying to keep it basketball.
Oh, I got a football thing. It's something Cole and I have been talking about. What? Like, who are your top three like receivers in the game right now? Like, who do you think the top three guys are?
Right now.
Right now.
Okay. Let's see. I like, I got a couple usual suspects. I like Brown in Pittsburgh. He's nice. Uh-huh. Jones in Atlanta. My young guy would be Keenan Allen at San Diego. Mm-hmm. He's pretty good. Who else is there? A.J. Green. I mean, you know, A.J. Green, he's kind of under the radar because of where he is in Cincinnati. And, you know, unless you make, you know, consistent playoff runs, and then, you know, people kind of consider you the best at your position then. But, you know, to the, you know, football purists, I mean, A.J. Green is really a really good wide receiver.
Yeah, Tyler's a former Bengals fan, so he's a very
former.
Yeah, they crushed his heart too many times, so you had to get out.
With Kenny Anderson, did you do it? Munoz and Kenny Anderson, is that when you left?
No, I was like,
this year.
Very recently. Like, you said playoff runs. They had a lot of, I guess, playoff walks where they would make it and then immediately get trounced. Yeah, and it was just bad for my heart, Isaac. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, that Carson Palmer, man.
Oh, yeah, Dalton too, man. It was just not not a good time.
Yeah,
I feel bad for him. He's in Atlanta, so during the Super Bowl last year, he was getting himself together. He threw his phone on the charger. He was ready to go hit the town, and that score kept dwindling and dwindling. And next thing I know, I'm celebrating. Wow. He's not.
Wow,
it's a tough look.
Oh, okay, I see it. Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, we got to.
It was disgusting.
Oh, man. Same thing, make you cry, make you laugh, make you laugh, make you cry. So
that's exactly right.
That was it, man.
That was, I almost don't want to make it, like, I don't make any Super Bowls, but I don't want to make any more Super Bowls.
Really?
That was, like, at least I don't want to get down 25.
No, don't do that. Like, I mean, you never plan to lose a Super Bowl, you know?
No.
Everybody, both teams plan to win. I mean, you have a Super Bowl victory party in both hotels.
Right.
And then one has to change, you know, unfortunately, man, which is crappy. I've been on the end of both, so.
And consecutive years, too. Like, that's the crazy part. Yeah. Like, 12 months. Like, would you have rather those switched? Like, you lost the first one, then won the second one?
No, I take the first one.
Okay.
I take the Super Bowl 34 and 36, you know, 14 points favored in that game, you know.
I remember.
And we smashed everybody that year. Including the Patriots.
Beat us in the regular season.
Yeah, that's true.
Did you see any similarities between that and the first Giants Super Bowl over the Patriots, where the underdog had at least played you and played you close in the regular season? Because I think you beat us by like 7 and maybe 8.
Yes. I think it benefits the team that loses. Mm-hmm. I mean, it puts a little chip and they want a little payback. And, you know, I kind of saw that happening. But I knew they would come out a little tougher than they were. But I still didn't think they were a match for us that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, I mean, I was 12. 12? Yeah, 12.
You blocked it out of your memory. You don't even know.
And no, I was shocked. I didn't think that was going to happen at all. Like, we had just seen Brett Favre hang, like, 40 on us, like, several years before that. So I was like, maybe Tom Brady had just, like, broke his ankle against Pittsburgh. Like, Bledsoe had to finish that game.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know. I remember John Madden saying, like, oh, they should just take a knee. That was the craziest part. I want to ask this in the most respectful way. Yeah. Was Ty Law the best corner you had ever seen, or were there better guys during that era?
He was really, really good. He's really, really good for that scheme that they played.
Okay. So you think it was scheme based?
I mean, we all played in a scheme. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's up to that player to really, you know,
shine in
that scheme. I think he did that. There were some guys I would say was better than he was, only because I played them probably more. Ty Law once and twice, once in a regular season, once in a Super Bowl. So that's the only time I ever seen him. So, so obviously some other guys in the NFC would have my respect a little bit more, only for that purpose.
Let's hear him. I'm interested.
You know, I just described, you know, the last place I was, that it was a certain type of defensive back, the guy who studied, guy who could really study my alignment. Guys who can see route combinations from formations that were set up. Those guys had a little bit more success than other guys who just went out there off raw talent.
Yeah.
Nias Williams was one of those guys. He was good at what he did. Ray Buchanan, he was really good. Ashley Ambrose, those guys were really, really right there, ready to play, and they did their homework. Okay. Two Atlanta guys, too, man. Boy. Ambrose and Ray Buchanan, man.
Oh, yeah, Ray Buchanan. I remember the legends.
Yeah, man.
You went to college in Memphis, correct?
Right.
So, what are they doing with David Fizdale, man? What's going on there?
That's weird, right?
I couldn't believe it.
Man, I thought he'd be there for probably 5 or 6 years, man, at least. You know, it's kind of strange. It lets you know that, you know, it's a player's league from what I can tell. But, you know, you're talking about a guy who took his team to the playoffs the first year, and they gave the Spurs a run for their money, right?
Sure did.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know, they end up, you know, just being fired last week. I mean, I don't think it's smart, man.
And we have Mike Conley in here, and he could only say glowing things about Fizdale and this summer.
Yeah, Mike's not playing right now. So
right,
that's key.
Right,
you know, that's his guy. His bread and butter. So if Mike's not there, you know, you got to go with a backup guy. He's in the league for a reason, but he's not a starter.
Right.
So, you know, at least give Mike an opportunity to come back and see what happens, man. Those guys knocked off, you know, the Warriors, and they beat the Rockets earlier this season. So apparently he can coach something. He can coach something.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've yet to hear other than Grizzlies management, I haven't heard a crossword about Fizdale from anyone else.
Wow. Those only two people that have something bad to say about David Fizdale, Mark Gasol and Grizzlies management.
Wow. The guy paid his dues, man. He was in South Beach for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, developed a lot of players. So unfortunate. Yeah.
He'll bounce back.
Yeah, I think so too.
I got hope for him. Yeah. Real quick, is Hitch still your favorite movie?
Oh, yeah, I like Hitch, man. I was just watching it the other day, man. Started, you know, I know pretty much word for word. And, you know, I kind of raised my daughters off make the pizza, you know,
Yeah.
And when I'm getting them out of the tub and stuff, you know, make the pizza. And they say, Daddy, make the pizza. And I do that. But, yeah, it's one of my favorite movies.
That's amazing.
I you know, Will Smith, one of my guys. All his movies, Denzel, I watch them all. So.
Not all Will Smith's movies. He's put out some
not
stinkers.
Not all of them. Yeah, most of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of them.
Yeah.
He's my guy some of the time.
But the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was all of that, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's classic.
Yeah, yeah. All of that.
Yeah, no, you're not going to hear anything negative on this podcast about 80s, 90s, early 2000s Will Smith.
Yeah.
No.
Awesome, man.
No time for that. And a good hooper, too.
Really?
Yeah, he used to play in those Rock Jock games on MTV back in the 90s.
Okay.
Him and Mark Wahlberg, Michael Rapaport. He didn't have much competition.
They were dominating.
He's like just going to the post, right?
Yeah, him and Nelly. Those are two all-stars.
Go to the post, man.
Usually, I don't know how this is going to work, because since you don't really enjoy sugary treats anymore,
mm-hmm.
but we're a big cereal podcast here.
Really?
So we ask people their top five favorite all-time cereals. I wonder what your answer would be.
Growing up as a kid... what I wanted versus what mom bought.
Oh, yeah.
Totally different. So I had cornflakes, you know, with no sugar, just regular mm-hmm. cornflakes. So we had to eat those.
Just the regular rooster on the box.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, after when I got drafted, you know, my first trip to the grocery store, you know, I got the peanut butter Cap'n Crunch.
Ooh.
You know, and I was like, here, in your face, mom. Right here. I get my own.
Balling.
So that was me, man. You know, I'd eat the Cap'n Crunch, but they don't taste the same now. So
right.
I stopped eating them way back, man. But
that would have been your number one, though, all time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Peanut butter crunch.
Tyler's a big Cap'n Crunch guy.
Cap'n Crunch, man, yeah.
You mess with, like, the healthy cereal now, or you just stay away from it altogether?
Yeah, I do the healthy cereal. Kashi, anything like that.
Oh, no.
Yeah, man, they have some the Cheerios with the stevia and regular cane sugar, so I'll eat those. But I don't eat much cereal, man. If I eat them, I eat them without milk.
Ugh.
So
this is the first time I'm saying this on the show. Tyler switched to rice milk recently.
Rice milk?
Because he watched something called What the Health, and it scared him away.
I watched that, too.
Oh,
man.
God damn it.
Oh, yeah.
Man, dude, you need to watch
it. No, why would I do that? No, look at how you two eat.
You want to live long and be strong?
Why would I want to live
long? Oh, man. I mean, just the way they were.
It opened my eyes.
Oh, my goodness. They had the big, huge hogs and popping these. Oh, it was gross, man. These popping these big abscess on their legs and stuff. Yeah. And you're eating that? Oh, come on, man.
Ignorance is bliss. You ever hear that?
Yeah.
Well, now you know.
Ignorance
will
get you pulled over in the ticket, too, sometimes, you know. But man, that was gross, man. You see that stuff?
No, I haven't. Oh. That's why I keep eating these delicious things.
It's delicious. No, but it's gross, man. They shoot the chickens up, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, man. Are you kidding me?
I believe it. Seeing it sounds very scarring.
But they take this blade and slice it. And the pus is green, just pouring out, man.
It goes everywhere.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, man, he didn't wash the knife off. You know, he just hit it again, hit the next one. I was like, oh, my, no.
You see the part where they had, like, the pigs just out in the bucket, just, like, roasting in the sun? And they were like, yeah, that's how bacon's made. I was like, oh, no.
No. It's gross, man.
It sounds it.
It's gross.
I don't know why.
They sell it, man. I mean, they give it to us. And you wonder why your back hurts the way it does, and your knees are cracking, and
I can't lose
this extra weight. It's the pus.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the meat, it's the pus.
I might just not eat anymore, anything. I'll be gone
a week. You watch that doc, you won't eat for 2 weeks.
yeah, I don't want to do that.
I didn't know, you know, pigs can get cancer, and that's pretty much what they, man.
They're just cutting the cancer right out?
No, they're not cutting it out. They're just...
like draining it?
They probably can't go through the machine with the big abscess this big, so they got to hit it with the knife. It flattens that, and now it goes through. So, oh, it's gross, man. I'm like, man.
Yeah, well, this has been horrifying.
Yeah. rice milk now?
No, yeah. I'm not on rice milk. I thought that'd be too big of a jump immediately, but I have switched to almond milk.
Yeah, there you go. That's me too. Almond milk.
Okay, yeah. He said almond milk stinks. I disagree. I think it tastes just like regular milk.
I'm not an almond milk man.
I do coconut milk, almond milk, and you know, plant-based milk.
Yeah, I might try rice because he said it's just sweeter, and I like sweet. Sweet's good with me.
Well, you can put a little stevia in it too, man.
Do you work for stevia?
I don't, but after here, I'm sure I get a call and a contract. You know, that's what it's all about.
We need 10% of that stevia money. When big stevia comes calling, you call Mixtape. Isaac Bruce, we're also going to keep yelling about getting you in the Hall of Fame because the NFL Hall of Fame needs to just figure it out.
Just whisper. You know, a small whisper goes a long way, man. Just keep whispering it. You don't have to yell.
I'm Irish. The Irish whisper is everyone else's normal speaking voice.
We'll just whisper very, very loudly that you should be in the Hall of Fame.
Isaac Bruce Foundation, again, anything that's helping kids out, we support.
Yeah,
we're very, sense, very all in on that. So was there a website for that?
IsaacBruce.org. We're accepting donations all year long. It's been really great. Started it back in 2006. Started to make it just a positive impact in the city of St. Louis, and it's grown. It's affected Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Memphis, where I went to school, and hopefully it'll be national, and our goal is to be global with it.
Awesome.
Yeah, that is great. Always need to support the kids.
Yeah.
And thank you very much for coming by, man. We appreciate it.
This was fun, man.
Yeah, best of luck to your Miami Heat. Not too much luck since I'm a Celtics fan, but enough luck.
Yeah, I mean, it may be end up the Celtics and the Cavs and the Eastern Conference Finals, and
probably, and LeBron's going to win.
You got to bow down.
Correct.
Got to bow down.
Bend the knee.
Until it no longer happens, I'm just going to keep picking that.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can do.
Yeah.
But I do love Kyrie.
Yeah.
All in on Kyrie.
he's a finisher, man.
He is.
He's a finisher.
He is. I haven't had as much fun watching the Celtics since 08 when we won. And even that was great to watch just because it had been 18 long years of not winning titles. But there's something different about watching Kyrie just orchestrate his way through the lane.
I think he's pushing and making those younger guys mature a lot sooner than later. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You got Brown and the one kid out of Duke right now.
Yeah, Tatum.
Those guys are playing pretty good, man.
Yeah.
So we'll
see. And Jalen, his childhood best friend, just passed about a week and a half ago. So he's been playing with that on his heart.
Yeah.
And you can tell he's in that zone right now.
Yeah, man. It'll be fun.
Yeah. So, again, thank you very much, Isaac Bruce Foundation, future Hall of Famer, Isaac Bruce. Thank you very much, fella.
All right, man. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Isaac.
Fucking with these hoes once I leave the North Pole. In playing production. With that taco like my name is Paco. Gigi got those. Got those. Gigi, 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 got those. Gigi claws, it's taco time. Twas the night before Christmas, I'm slate riding. Got that gap beside me, so don't try me. Tiny Tim wants 2K, he was good all year. His mama got a bet he can see her taco from the rear. Mrs. Claus gon' be okay, she won't shed a tear. She know Gigi like to play, I've been good all year. Trading OZ of the loud for an Xbox One. Take a pull, this shit, wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Drop off the sack, it's a Celuego. Talk a time, you call me Pedro. Isabella, she call it the Yako. Get off her shit, it's okay though. Gigi, 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 bad bitch on my lap, telling me her Christmas list. She gon' get everything she wants, hope she wants this dick. Order 40s by the crate, call me Nucky North Pole. Jordan Force on the boardwalk, Mikey Sorrentino. Drop off these presents, then it's taco time. Throw a bitch up with the glass, reverse ducking my balls up for taco, man. Reverse ducking my balls up for taco, man. Throw a bitch off the glass and duck my balls in a taco, man. It's taco time. It's taco time.
fucking with these hoes once I leave the North Pole. Playing with that taco like my name is Paco. Fucking with these hoes once I leave the North Pole. Playing with that taco like my name is Paco. Taco, taco, it's taco time. Taco, 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 taco time. Fucking with these hoes once I leave the North Pole. Playing with that taco like my name is Paco.
We on the building, but y'all act like you don't know. It's Geechee Clouds and Young Rudolph Ho. And we for the kids, but we love these new thoughts more. I seen Geechee reverse 360 two tacos at the same time. Dang, that's hang time. If your dame fine, he'll grab the reins, make me change flight and take a straight line to your girl house, unwrapping your girl blouse and do mic and drills all night inside your girl mouth. Flying around the world of view from the top of seven. Geechee break a mouth. I'll take a sloppy second. I ain't a choosy deer. Show me them boobies, dear. Quit fronting. I know which list had you this year. Waited all evening. Taco so good it don't even need seasoning. And once the sun is down, the chimney ain't the only thing we coming down. Yo, fupa gon' be my chalupa. Cause my balls on your taco say booyah, booyah. I once saw Geechee snatch a 6'4" dude with a beard's hoe. Toss her off the backboard, dunks this guy's hoe on him. Shatters the backboard, pieces of glass go everywhere, it's in the taco. Very dangerous situation, supremely disrespectful. I come through on the baseline, 720, whole arm in the taco like Vince Carter, I'm just hanging there. People like,
is it the shoes?
Nah, bitch, is it the hooves? Rangers don't wear shoes,
Claus,
idiot.
Got them hoes. Fuck, nigga, you know. Why you standing under mistletoe? With a bitch built like a pot roast. Said your bitch built like a pot roast. Tongue all in a throat. Damn, that's a big hoe. Goddamn, nigga, that's a big hoe.
Fucking, 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 fucking. Fucking with these hoes once I leave the North Pole. Playing with that taco like my name is Paco. Fucking with these hoes once I leave the North Pole. Playing with that taco like my name is Paco. Taco, taco, it's taco time. Taco, 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 taco time. Fucking with these hoes once I leave the North Pole. Playing with that taco like my name is Paco.